Introducing two new Subway melts. Try the new chicken cordon bleu melt stacked with juicy chicken, black forest ham, and melted cheese. Or the new $5 footlong chicken marinara melt. Tender chicken covered in marinara sauce and melted cheese. Melted goodness made irresistible. Subway melts. Subway. Eat fresh. The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Wow. I don't think I've ever been more excited for a BS Report. We had to postpone this from Friday to Monday because I was not able to see the entire two-hour premiere of Jersey Shore, the most life-altering reality TV show, I think, that's ever been made. And now in the Subway Fresh Take hotline, the czar of reality TV, Mr. Dave Jacoby. What's happening?
There's too much happening. I'm glad we didn't do it on Friday because I was just still in shock, like someone after a car accident. Or like that, like right when after someone wins the Super Bowl, like someone's in their face asking questions, they just can't say anything.
Yeah.
That's sort of how I felt all weekend about the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, I needed to watch it intermittently on and off for 48 hours straight before I really was able to summon adequate reactions. I wrote down some quotes.
It was like a Shakespeare sonnet. There's just so many different layers to it.
Initially, I was against going 2 hours with it, but then you realize like it was really like a Robert Altman film.
Yeah.
There was so much. It was like watching Shortcuts or Nashville or something. There's so much going on that you almost need to watch it 4 times just to kind of digest everything.
And understand everything. And this season on at the end was just mind-blowing.
Yeah, I apologize for leading you to believe that the situation was the one who punched Snookers at the end. Or
the situation would never do that.
Yeah, the situation would never do that. It did look like him, but then as I slow-moed it frame by frame, I think it was like his cousin or something.
Yeah, or evil twin or something, but it wasn't the situation.
Now, before we dive into this, I mean, is this a real... Is this like a real society, this whole Jersey? Is it this bad? Because I've been to the Jersey Shore, and I never remember it being this over the top.
Well, I'm far from an expert on the Jersey Shore, but I will say this. The Jersey Shore is a much bigger place than where they are. They're
right.
In Seaside. So it's like it's like saying, you know, it's as varied a community as say, Brooklyn. There's your beautiful, nice parts, and then there's your not-so-so nice parts. And there's a very different cultures there.
So you would say that Seaside, maybe the lower economy, I don't want to say
oh, not, yeah, I'm not making socioeconomic judgments. I'm saying this is where this sort of, like, for lack of a better term, Guido culture exists in this pocket of the Jersey Shore.
So a Massachusetts parallel would be maybe the North Shore.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Where you can just tell that someone's from there with the second they open their mouth. Like, oh.
Right. But... You can still you could have had a Jersey Shore that maybe would have had a more well-rounded group of,
for sure,
of people.
Okay. Yes, you could have had you could have a version of the Jersey Shore that looks more like the hills than whatever this is.
It's like if I created a show called Jewish People, but I went into a Hasidic Jewish neighborhood.
Exactly.
Extremists, Joe Mead, they'll keep that, right? That's a fair analogy.
Yeah, you know, I don't decide these things, so.
Yeah, I should have Jack O at some point to come on and talk about our one Jersey Shore experience. We spent 3 days there, closest I've ever come to getting beaten up. Talked myself out of it. My friend Chip, who not the greatest drunk, he's that guy, one of those guys, opened somebody's car for some reason. And it was like a nice car, and the alarm went off, and we had basically all the guys on this show, the 1993 version, screaming at us from a balcony. And I was like, oh, my God, Chip finally did it. Chip has finally gotten us beaten up.
I mean, we'll get into the show, but after watching it, there's a part of me that wants to go on like a little road trip to just go experience this all in its natural habitat. But
yeah.
Then there's a bigger part of me that says the chances of you getting beaten up are probably 75-80%.
Yeah, I would think so.
You know,
I do have an announcement to make. I watched the show on and off, as I said, for 48 hours all weekend. I developed pink eye just from watching it. I now have pink eye. And I also, it hurts when I pee. I don't know if there's a correlation. Is that, would that also be an after effect? I don't know.
That's called the J-Wows.
I made that up. All right. Let's hit the cast.
Okay.
We'll go with the males first.
Okay.
So the first one, Pauly D, which, first of all, great name. If I want a Jersey Shore character, I want the Pauly and then I want the initial after. So Pauly K, Pauly F, anything would have worked. Pauly D was great. Owns a tanning bed.
In his house.
Spends 25 minutes to do his hair every night.
Yeah. And he has the word Cadillac tattooed down his torso.
Mm.
And each letter is about a foot long. His tattoos are just, they're a lot. They're a lot to take in at the same time. He also has another body altering situation going on. You don't remember him and J-Wow?
Oh, yeah. We're going to get to that.
Yeah.
The thing with Pauly and the tattoos is they're very crudely done. Reminds me of the NBA players that don't have a ton of money to get, like, the really nicely done tattoos. And you just kind of see them, and it almost looks like they got them done in a juvenile detention center or something.
Yeah. And they should stick with one theme as well with the tattoos. I feel like they've got them from different eras.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're very pious, these gentlemen, especially with their tattoos.
And the muscles and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's large crosses.
Next guy, my favorite guy, obviously, his name's Mike, nicknamed himself The Situation. Now, at various points, it seemed like The Situation was him, but then it was also his abs, because he had a good six-pack.
Mm-hmm.
And it vacillated between those two things. It was almost like watching a wrestler who couldn't remember what his nickname and his gimmick was. His situation was the abs, but then also he himself was The Situation.
Yeah, well, I think the situation is the abs, but he is a situation.
But he is an ongoing situation.
Yes. And his situation changes second to second. I've never seen such insecurity manifest itself as overconfidence in anyone else before.
At least on a reality show, no.
It's just strange. It's just strange that he's so insecure and so overconfident all at the same time that he's constantly going back and forth between those two things to the point where he had to nickname himself The Situation.
I don't want to jinx it, but he is one of the five or six most compelling characters in the history of MTV. Through one episode. I would rank him among anybody. Every time he came on the screen, I could have heard my little boy fall down the stairs, and I would have been like, hold on, I'll get you 1 second.
one second.
On the screen.
You'll be all right.
I'm about to ruin him for you.
Oh, no.
He looks like somebody.
Okay.
He looks like Jersey Guido Derek Jeter. When you watch him the next time, you'll be thinking about Jeter the whole time.
I can see a little bit of that.
Oh, no, there's a lot. There's a lot, my friend. There's a lot of Derek Jeter in the situation.
I'll look at that. I'll have to re-review that.
I love that nickname, though. It's one of the best self-appointed nicknames I think that's ever happened. And also would have been a really, really good WWE gimmick.
And also one of, what, three self-appointed nicknames amongst the cast?
Yeah. Let's keep going. So the next male, Ronnie. Now, Ronnie is just almost like a bodybuilder.
Almost like a bodybuilder. He's almost like a rhinoceros.
Yeah. And Joe Mead, you're going to have to bleep this. But Ronnie says, His mission when he goes out is, you take your shirt off and they come to you. It's like a fly comes to That's one of his quotes. He also had a rule that you don't fall in love on the Jersey Shore.
No, I think that's rule number one, actually.
Rule number one, actually. I messed that up.
Yeah, I think it's rule number one is don't fall in love with the Jersey Shore. The situation broke rule number one in like the first 10 minutes on the show.
He also came up with a phrase that I'd never heard before. He talked about one of his other roommates, Sammy. He said he'd like to pound Sammy out.
No, he'd also like to pound out the entire Jersey Shore.
And he'd like to pound out the entire Jersey Shore. I'd never heard the phrase pound out used in a romantic term. And I hope I'd never hear it again.
Time.
Yeah.
Something tells me that he will be pounding out women and men in very different ways over the course of this show.
It's just going to be a general pound out.
He's a physical presence.
Yeah.
He's scary.
Yeah. Yeah, he could be in the WWE right now.
Also, pretty stable, I'm going to say. Like as a guy, like he just seems kind of like he's like, this guy might have some sort of semblance of how the rest of the world works. And I could see him existing in the rest of the world.
So you think that he could have a real job in real society?
Yeah, I mean, okay. someone's got to, like, throw kegs in the bars or whatever they do, you know.
Right.
Something that takes immense physical power.
Fourth male roommate, his name's Vinny, who was probably the most nondescript of the males, except until the point where he ended up with pink eye.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you wouldn't have known how to label him, but now he's the guy who got pink eye. And there's one other way I'd label him. I'm ashamed to admit this, but my wife, who watched the show with me, she said, and I wrote this down. This is a direct, exact quote. She volunteered this to me. I don't know why. If I was at gunpoint and had to hook up with one of those guys, hyphen, if I had to, I'd hook up with Vinny.
He's a baby. He's sweet.
Yeah.
You know, he's from Staten Island. I mean, of those people,
yeah.
I don't think any of those people are from New Jersey.
I think, like, I feel the best about that answer out of the four guys. Because if she had said that she would have talked herself into the situation, I would have caused real concern.
Or if she would have wanted to be pounded out by Ronnie.
Yeah, that would have been a trouble, too.
That would have made you insecure.
That would have been trouble. All right, let's move to the woman. So, Angelina, who described herself later in the show as the Kim Kardashian of Staten Island, which I'd like to disagree with. She was talking about how she's very buxom and has big buttocks. But, you know, Angelina, part of that reason is that you know, you're not skinny.
That's the situation said.
Yeah. And the situation finally called her out on
that. The quote unquote was, lose 5 or 10 pounds and we'll talk.
Yes. That's what the quote was. She distinguished herself by two things. One is that I'm going to use the word rooster instead of the word that we normally use, so it doesn't get bleeped, but she established herself early on as a rooster blocker.
Yes, a lot of rooster blocking. But
she has the boyfriend from home, and, you know, this is one of the things I liked about the show, and we haven't seen this enough in the real world seasons. The girl who has the boyfriend and doesn't want anyone else to hook up because she's almost jealous of the debauchery. So,
yeah.
So positions herself as the rooster blocker.
And she's almost proud of her rooster blocking.
Yeah, which I've never seen before on a television show. And frankly, it made me not like her.
It seems like whenever there's any sort of rooster situation happening anywhere around her in the vicinity, she feels the need to stop it, like a firefighter would put out a candle.
She sniffs it out. I would call her the hen.
Yeah, yeah.
She doesn't have a nickname, I'd call her the hen.
I'm surprised she didn't give herself a nickname. Oh, she does have a nickname, Jolie. Because her name's Angelina, and she started, I believe she started calling herself, or other people started calling her Jolie.
I'm going to say that was self-proclaimed. The next girl is Sammy Sweetheart, who I thought, out of the three, was the most traditionally attractive. Definitely a little Guido, and we're going to have to bleep again, Joe. Her quote, if you had a yearbook quote that you had to assign each person, this would have been hers. If you're not a Guido, then you can get the out of my face.
Yeah.
That was her quote, which I at least we know where we stand with Sammy Sweetheart.
Yeah.
I like that nickname, too. In fact,
Sammy Sweetheart, again, I think she came into the house with it.
Yeah. A good porn name, too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We have four girls because I forgot about JWoww.
Oh, JWoww. JWoww. I'm going to say JWoww to me is more fascinating than the situation is.
Yeah, she's pretty good.
I can't keep my eyes off her.
Well, she has the worst implants I think I've ever seen on a television show.
Well, have you?
They're completely round. They look like they look not even like two basketballs. They look like two WNBA balls. A little smaller.
No. Those are too soft. I would go with like college NCAA softballs.
All right.
I think I saw seams in there one time.
I'm not even sure if she paid for them. Might have gotten them for free in some sort of deal in the back of a magazine.
She passed out one night.
It's not good. And what I love about her, a couple reasons. First of all, she calls herself JWoww, but it's three W's.
So yes. Yes. I so noticed that as well.
So it's kind of like a Jen with two N's type thing.
It's JWoww.
JWoww with the double W, just so you know that she's a player with the extra W.
Yeah, and also you don't get her mixed up with all those other JWoww's in your life.
Like that's true.
She sends you an email or something, you know it's not your other buddy, JWoww.
It's almost like when people buy URLs and they can't get exactly the one they want, so they pick one that's got like, Sonics, but it's got the Z on the end instead of the S.
Yeah.
That's what she did with the third W.
I really appreciate her fashion sense, you know, because like the other Guidettes in the house sort of go with this traditional sort of black booty shorts, black top, She goes, I believe the ensemble was, I'll call it a cloth necklace.
Yep.
A cloth nipple covering necklace.
That shirt that she was wearing was a shirt that you, I don't even know if you see it in a strip joint.
No, it's not classy.
Like, even the strippers would say, that's
too much.
Yeah, that's too revealing. I need to cover up a little more.
Leave them wanting more. And then she's got these jeans, which are just completely faded out and ripped through on purposely. Boots that can only be referred to as hooker boots. And then she's got wallet chains all over her.
Yeah, she said, you know, we've joked about how there hasn't been a Real World Road Rules sex tape yet. I would predict that JWoww would be involved in the first MTV sex tape, except I'm sure it's already out there. We'd have to Google for 3 minutes. And I'm sure there's like six of them.
What's JWoww's real name?
Who knows?
I don't know either.
Here was her defining quote. And I like this, too, because you know where you stand. She said, I'm like a praying mantis.
Yeah.
After I have sex with a guy, I will rip their heads off.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, JWoww, good to know.
But there's oddly something about that that makes you want to step up to the challenge.
Because it's a praying mantis.
Yeah, like, really?
And then
you know,
the last
like the
one.
The siren song that drags me into the rocks.
She's daring you.
Yeah.
It's like when teams stack the line and dare you to throw deep. And then finally, Snooki, a.k.a. Nicole. I guess, you know, they did. Now, this wasn't done by Buna Murray.
No, this was not.
But they did go with the formula of having the one overmatched daddy's girl who might leave and might not, and she's going to grow as the summer goes along. This seems to be Snooki, I'm guessing.
I don't see a lot of growth coming out of Snooki.
You don't?
I just don't. I don't know where that character arc is going, except for just more tears and more pain.
Mm. You might be right.
It's difficult. It's difficult for Snooki out there in the real world.
Well, her quote was, her yearbook quote about herself that she didn't know was a yearbook quote was, my ultimate dream is to move to Jersey, find a juiced, hot, tan guy, and live my life.
Yeah, but I think if you could attribute that to pretty much every female down there.
I think when your ultimate dream is to move to Jersey, that's pretty interesting.
You know, usually they say like lots of muscles, lots of you know, like the muscular protein shake drinking. Usually they kind of like dance around the term, but on this show they literally say juice and juice head.
And hot and tan. And
yeah, but they're going right at the steroids thing. They're like, yes, I want a juiced up guy.
She fell apart in the first show. You know, she's, what is she?
Yeah.
Maybe 5'1".
5'1"?
4'11"?
Yeah.
Whatever, but
she's
one of those
she's got the body of an exercise ball.
One of those girls that as soon as they start drinking, you know it's going to be some MTV magic. And obviously there was some throwing up, and then the roommates were not happy with her. And as she said the next day, she said, I'm on the outcast with everybody else, which I enjoyed. She's in the outcast.
She's on the outcast. She was being passed around the hot tub. And you know, Angelina, the rooster blocker, does not like that.
No, she was wearing a bra and panties and was basically like a beach ball just bouncing around the hot tub from
like the bleachers of a stadium.
Some other things I enjoyed from the show. We'll just hit these in order. I liked when JWoww got upset when everybody started laughing during Grace.
Yeah.
The same person who had already announced she was going to basically have sex with the Jersey Shore at some point.
Yeah.
It's good to see she had morals. Angelina did not like the t-shirt job.
No, I want to talk about the t-shirt job a little bit.
Okay, let's talk about that first, and then I'll say the quote.
You can tell a lot about the environment and the people that aren't on the show from the t-shirt shop itself.
Yep.
If you look in the background while they're in that store, and you just look at all those t-shirts up there, and you ask yourself, which one of those would I wear? The answer, there just isn't one in there.
That's why you're the czar. You've seen these things.
It's like it's all Jersey Pride, Seaside. It's overwhelming, and the visual of it too is because there's no wallpaper, there's no painted walls in there. It's cheesy Jersey T-shirt slogans everywhere you look.
Does the Jersey Shore change? Because it feels like it's almost static.
Well, yeah, it feels like the aesthetics of the T-shirt design are or like, you know, some sort of like late 80s, early 90s sort of a thing going on.
The bars don't feel different. Like, nothing feels different from when I was there. Like, nobody at any point during the season is going to say, hey, guys, I'm going to go head down to the Wi-Fi Coffee Cafe.
Yeah,
that statement is not going to get uttered during the season.
I got to send an email. They don't have cell phones. They're on a phone that's attached to the wall.
Yeah, they have I don't even think they have Blackberries or,
no.
or iTouch or yeah.
The English language.
So Angelina said about the t-shirt job, I feel like this job is beneath me. I'm a bartender. I do great things. Yeah.
I do great things.
She's great things.
I mean, what great things? Because immediately I started thinking, all right, I wonder what she considers the great things she does as a bartender.
She mixes drinks.
Saves lives by calling people cabs. I really try to take this one seriously.
I love bartenders, but you just can't say the t-shirt job
is beneath you.
Or but it's not a bad job. It's not like they were like, you know, a bad job is cleaning up vomit in a bar at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, you know, which is also like a bartender duty.
Well, I guess that is.
The situation took the t-shirt job pretty seriously. And I appreciated his hustle.
We both really, really like the situation.
It's a good situation.
A couple other of my favorite moments. Sammy's sweetheart tried to get Snooki to stay. And what she told her was, you're Guidette. Don't go home. The implication being, your home is here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
That's a good point. But I think that's good advice, too. It's like when you go back to Poughkeepsie, New York.
Yeah.
It's not where you belong. You belong here. You invented the poof.
All right, Joe, we're going to have to bleep this one, too. J-Wow, she decided to really unleash on, like, the third night. So she was getting ready, and she announced to everybody, coming out tonight! And then she wore the stripper shirt. But if your roommate is going to say something like that, it's probably going to be an interesting summer.
Yeah, on the third night. Because she held on to him for so long, you know?
And then that same night, we learned that Polly had a piercing in a place that not a lot of people have pierced.
No.
And he showed that to J-Wow.
And her reaction was?
I love it.
Yeah. and then she proceeded to follow up in the interview by saying, I guess technically I cheated on my boyfriend.
By looking.
I'm pretty sure that's cheating when you're making out with a dude at a club and then going home and admiring his penile piercings.
His Prince Albert.
Yes.
It's safe to say that if you enjoy the Prince Albert, you've been around the block. Just throwing that out.
Yeah. She's great.
I enjoyed the pink eye thing. I don't know how you get pink eye. I thought it was something that little kids get and porn actresses.
I also enjoyed the way that he would explain it to everybody. Like they did a montage of him just letting everybody know.
Right.
Just telling everybody across the board, guess what, I've got pink eye. And just so you guys know, it was responsible. And he was obviously proud of his new...
Ronnie kind of reacted to it the same way that a tiger reacts to, you know, whatever. Like, pink eye. It's like Unfrozen caveman lawyer. I don't understand your pink eye.
Ronnie's great, man.
I liked Ronnie. We're going to get into him in a second. Angelina would not work for Vinny when he was getting his pink eye diagnosed past 7 because she needed to start getting ready to go out clubbing.
Naturally.
And then it turned out that they don't go out until 11 o'clock, so she needed 4 hours to get ready.
4.5 hours to get ready.
And now it was obviously her trying to get out of it, but what I found interesting about that was that nobody totally challenged her in the 4 hours.
Mm.
Like it was conceivable to the other roommates that it would take her 4 hours.
Yeah.
But that was interesting. She
and mind you, they're not going to a black tie affair,
right?
Like she's basically putting on her black booty shorts and her shirt.
That same night, J-Wow was with Polly and made out with him a little bit, and then left because she didn't want to cheat on her boyfriend. And hold on, let me get the quack. She said, "I left the club early because I didn't want to cheat on my boyfriend, and I felt like eating ham and drinking water." And then she showed the ham and the water to the camera, which I appreciate,
and said. Ham. It's just been down. I felt like coming home, eating ham, and drinking water.
Ham.
Ham.
Water and ham.
I think that's my new nickname, Ham.
It's a strong name for a fantasy team at the very least. Water and Ham.
water and Ham.
That same night, a love triangle developed between Ronnie, Sammy, and the Situation. Dare I call it a situation?
Now, there was a situation with the Situation, for sure. And I'll call it the club, the Situation Room.
Well, what I appreciated about this was that ahead of time, it had been established that both Ronnie and the Situation were intrigued by Sammy's sweetheart. But it was one of those all fair and love and war things where there was going to be no hard feelings no matter how it turned out. So Situation made out with her, and then Ronnie swooped in and basically took her. And the Situation was not mad at Ronnie. He was mad at Sammy's sweetheart.
He was really mad.
Really over the top, kind of.
Really mad, rude. I felt a little uncomfortable about it. It was all weird. I did like Ronnie's attitude about it. Just apathy across the board.
It was good. He rolled with it. I'm getting the feeling from you that Ronnie is your favorite on the show.
For sure.
Okay. Better than the Situation.
Mainly because I'm terrified by him.
Okay. And also that same night, everybody got in a fight and Pauly punched someone in the nose. And then afterwards he explained that you want to hit someone in the nose because it only takes 9 pounds of pressure to break a nose. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want to aim for. Which is, I learned from the Jersey Shore. I never knew.
Yeah. And you know what else you want to do? If you're going to get in a fight, the guy who's already in a half Nelson from security, probably a good target for you.
Right.
I mean, the guy, I watched this a few times. I may or may not have watched it a few times. The guy was already in the half Nelson from security. He could not defend himself.
Yep.
And Pauly just decided to punch him in the face.
You know what it reminded me of? When Dr. J punched Larry Bird as Moses Malone and Charles Barkley were holding him from behind. And he got like five shots in. But he didn't know to hit Bird in the nose. If he had known, it would have taken 9 pounds of pressure.
If he would have known, only 9 pounds of pressure.
He was aiming for his cheek and his chin. The doc had, 26 years before Jersey Shore.
Here's the thing about Pauly D. The man pays attention to detail. It takes 25 minutes to do his hair, and he knows how many pounds of pressure it takes to break a nose.
How old? Was he the one who was 29?
Yes, he was 29.
And the girls were upset because he made out with 20-year-olds.
With a 20-year-old.
Now, what do we think Pauly does for a living?
He's a DJ.
Okay. And owns a tanning salon.
And he made it clear that he's a DJ and he doesn't like to work.
Right.
We're missing an important piece of the culture, which I feel like that I want to complain about, is just the music itself.
Oh, interesting. Just maybe like they couldn't get rights.
The boom-cha, boom-cha, boom-cha house music all night long. I want to feel that. I don't.
I want to see how closely you watch this show. I'm going to read you some quotes. You tell me who you think.
Oh, okay, great.
Who you think said them? Your bank account could be low, but you always got to look good. Always have to have a new haircut. Always got to wear new sneakers. Always got to look fresh.
That's the Situation.
What do you say to someone who looks like Rambo with his shirt off?
That's the Situation again.
Yeah, it was. I tried to trick you on that.
Yeah.
Everybody loves me. Babies, dogs, hot girls, cougars.
I'm going to go with the Situation.
Yes. Are we sensing a recurring theme here?
Read that one, though, because I like that one a lot.
You want me to read it again? Everybody loves me. Babies, dogs, hot girls, cougars.
Babies, dogs, hot girls, cougars. Mind you, this is the same guy who flipped out after the girl that he knew for 2 days that he kissed like once or twice in a club called Karma.
Right.
Kissed one of his other roommates later. It's the whole sort of insecurity, overconfidence dichotomy that I can't wrap my fingers around. Pause.
I don't give a bleep if you're fat, you're ugly, you're 45 years old. I'll dance with you. I think it's hilarious.
Oh, that's my friend Vincenzo from Staten Island.
Yep. All right. I thought maybe I could rope you into also saying that.
No.
I
don't understand how they equate him dancing with that woman with the pink eye. I mean, we don't have to go into detail, but if you've seen the show, don't see how that adds up.
Maybe something splattered?
I think it's got something. The pink eye might have something to do with that jacuzzi. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that jacuzzi.
That jacuzzi is...
Not since Three Mile Island has there been more of a danger to society than that jacuzzi.
There's doctors, scientists that work at Chernobyl that would look at that jacuzzi and turn the other way.
They're going to do a jacuzzi thing. It's going to end up like Silkwood or or one of those movies from the early 80s where somebody gets exposed.
That's the jacuzzi's going to move across the deck one time, and no one's going to know how it got there. It's like, what happened? It's like, I think it moved. I think it just walked across the deck. I'm not sure.
The jacuzzi's going to go
in the kitchen. I don't know. I guess it was hungry.
It's going to go to the confessional room and give an interview.
Or just swallow Ronnie. What happened to Ronnie? Last time I know, he's in the jacuzzi. He was disintegrated?
The jacuzzi and the pool from Poltergeist are the two bodies of water that you don't want to go in this lifetime.
Don't want to be around.
I have one more for you. That's how we know we're classier. We've been here for 2 days, and we haven't done anything with them.
That's Angelina.
Right. She said that after the skanks went in the hot tub with the boys. And that was her defense for being classier, is that they've been there for 2 days and have not done anything with them.
Is it just me? Now, I'm trying to look at this objectively, all right? And I'd like your opinion on this. Is it just me, or is pretty much all the women that you see on that show, whether they're part of the cast or not, are on a similar level of quote-unquote class, yet anyone who does not reside inside that building, it gets called bad names?
Yeah, that's true. I would say that there is no way to differentiate any of the people that we've seen during the 2 hours so far.
Yeah, but all of a sudden, if you don't live in that house and you go to the jacuzzi, you get called dirty names that rhyme with or.
Now, Czar, yes, the ratings weren't good for Jersey Shore. Why was that?
Well, I have a theory about MTV ratings. I don't want to get too inside baseball here, but MTV shows are no longer appointment viewing because they re-air everything all the time.
Oh. And it's online.
And it's online, yeah. So you know, I didn't watch the original air. You don't really have to, because you know it's going to be around. They're going to re-air it during the day. They re-air it at night. They put it up online for free. So, but I would say that Jersey Shore has the sort of cultural impact and buzz that we haven't seen since the American Revolution.
Well, I can tell you just from the emails we got over the weekend, because we had promised a podcast on Friday. People were as angry as I think they've ever been about anything involving me delivering on a promise.
It was weird. I started to feel bad. Like, I let people down.
Yeah. People were infuriated that they couldn't immediately hear two other people that they don't know digest the show.
Talk about it.
So where does this go this season? Do we get tired of these people?
Here's the thing is I think that this is a sort of a breakthrough moment in the genre. And just ride with me on this for a little bit.
Okay.
The same way that the real Orange County, what the real Orange County was to privileged enclaves that sort of begat desperate housewives of Orange County, that begat desperate housewives of Atlanta, and this whole, and then we have the city, these people living these fabulous lives with overproduced storylines and really well shot and edited stuff. I think that it's going to go another direction. It's going to go more for trashy, beachy, Cancun-y, Jersey Shore-y, Daytona Beach. We're going to be headed that direction.
I had a reader suggest that they do a similar version of a Boston show, which he suggested that it should be put in Boston. But actually, it would be better if they did North Shore. And then he was saying that it would eventually lead to a Real World Road Rules type challenge with the Jersey Shore cast against this North Shore cast. I thought that was pretty good. Unfortunately, that wouldn't be able to really happen for after next summer, so a year and a half, and I think half of the Jersey Shore cast is dead at that point.
Yeah, for sure. At least two of them are going to be eaten by that jacuzzi.
That was a reader from Alaska, by the way, named Paul. I'm going to give him credit for that.
good for Paul in Alaska.
Paul.
We'll call him Paulie D. Why not?
Polly K.
Yeah, Polly K from Alaska.
But yeah, I agree with you that I think now, here's what I like, and this is the old axiom of why certain movies work. This I'm about to get deep on you.
Okay, good.
When people say for instance, why did Rain Man work? Well, Rain Man worked because it was an autistic character, and we had no real experience of our own with autism, so we entered his world. Mm-hmm. Went into the world of an autistic guy, and that's how we got hooked in. Or what's another good example? I'm trying to think of success. Oh, Boogie Nights. The 70s porn disco world. We enter that world. And if you look at things that succeed, for the most part, it's always people being exposed to a world that they don't know anything about and they're learning about more, whether it's a TV show, a movie, whatever.
Sure.
Jersey Shore, you're entering this world that you didn't even know existed. I didn't know about any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, you probably had a little better feel.
Well, I've been joking about the Jersey Shore. Yeah, I've been joking. I've known about this, but been terrified of it.
The tri-state people know.
Yeah.
I'm saying that, and I think people in Rhode Island, even Massachusetts, or if you went to school in the East Coast, you got a taste of it. For the rest of the country, not a taste.
Mm-mm.
So that'll be interesting to see if that catches on, like if you live in Phoenix and you're watching this and it's almost like watching a universe that you didn't even know existed.
I think that it's going to start. People will gravitate. There's a certain personality that gravitates towards this type of behavior. And I think some people have been looking for this outlet to have role models so they can become Guidos and Guidettes themselves.
Well, there's a flip side of that coin, though, and this is where I think MTV has gone wrong. They did the teen pregnancy show.
Yeah.
And now they're having the teen mom show, and to me that feels like they're glorifying that stuff, and I don't think they
totally.
Should.
I totally agree. I saw the teen mom thing, and it's just kind of like they feature the struggle, but they also glorify the overcoming the struggle.
You don't want to glorify anything or make it seem to anybody who doesn't have a lot going on in life, who's like 15, 16, that if they get knocked up, maybe they could go on that show. That's
bad. You don't want that to be one of their life options.
Being able to get on an MTV show for having a kid that will invariably be called.
Or just watching this, Sarah from MTV did it, so I'm going to do it too.
Yeah. I don't think that show should be aired. I have a problem with it.
It's good.
I'd rather see them split.
Especially great coming from the guy who just spent half an hour talking about how great Jersey Shore is.
Well, that's the thing. If you're going to exploit people over 21.
They deserve it. Yeah, fair.
Exploit or over 20.
I think we got to talk about this season on.
Okay.
Before we move on to it.
Well, Snooki gets punched in the coming attractions, which I really was a tough one.
It is weird, man. It's the last shot you see in this season on. Or one of, like, the two last shots you see. This season on was great. I love these things, first of all.
I agree, and I think that we should film one about all the people behind the scenes at ESPN Films. Like, we film a fake one, and it ends with you and, like, Connor over the heads-up poker table, and you launching over to throw a punch, and it just stops with the punch. We could film like a whole, because it's basically the same recipe each time. It's, hey, we're happy.
Oh, no,
hey,
no,
we're
hey,
sad.
It's a party. Woo, I love my roommates so much.
Then it gets sad.
Yep. Someone's crying, but they still love each other, so someone's helping the person who's crying out.
And then it gets violent.
And then we got music change.
Violent.
Violence. And that's when it's always good. Those are always the best shots.
You can really do it about anything. You could do it about, like, Kobe's career.
Anything.
Yeah, show like Kobe. Hey, he's happy. Oh, here's Kobe's press conference.
Phil, and then Shaq in headlines, and then him getting in, getting punched in the face by Chris Childs, and then and then him, Artest choking him, and then music change again. Guess what? Now he's got the Larry O'Brien Trophy. Now him and Phil are hugging.
We should call it the HAV montage. What would it be? Happy, sad, angry.
Happy, sad, angry. Yeah.
The HSA montage. Happy, sad, angry. Festive, sad, angry, or whatever. But yeah, it's the same. And this was, I thought, the most shocking one I've seen.
I mean, there's some other fight shots, because the end is weird in its own right. We can talk about that briefly, but it freaks me out a little bit. But the other fight shots, they seem to only feature Ronnie. And Ronnie's got this, like, fighting stance that it just makes him seem unmovable.
Yep.
He's just scary, that dude, man. He's just aggressive. He's low to the ground. He seems like he's got fighting experience. And it seems like he gets in like 500 or 600 fights over the course of this season.
He's really the situation.
He is the situation.
Let's talk about Survivor really quickly.
I'd like to.
Klosterman emailed me, and I forwarded it to you, saying that this week promised Russell's boldest move yet.
Mm.
And he was like, "What could that possibly mean?"
Because he's made the 15 or 16 boldest moves in the history of the show.
Yeah, he's made like 16
already.
Of the 20 boldest.
Yes.
So my theory was that that he framed somebody for murder, but then you quickly chimed in that he seduced Shambo.
Yes. I think a good Shambo seduction. She's lonely. She's out there. She's upset about the chickens.
Then Klosterman said he thinks that they're going to go into the council and it's going to be clear that he's about to get voted off. And he's going to tell everyone, don't vote me off. I'm going to play the immunity idol. So they have the vote. And then he doesn't play the he just keeps it.
I know. That's great.
That would be bold.
If Closeman was the Serrano de Bergerac for Russell's strategy, I think those two could go far.
Yeah,
because I don't think Russell's got the wherewithal to come up with that plan himself.
Right.
But he could certainly execute it.
I love the Sex or Shambo angle. And I think, first of all, I think that would be the first scene in the history of reality that they'd have to blurkle the entire screen.
They might just go to Bars and Tone.
Just static?
Go to Blossoming Flowers and Exploding Rockets or something, one of those montages.
It could be the first thing that that really causes a riot or some sort of like people flipping cars and setting the cities on fire.
Yeah, just protesting.
And then Brian Williams would come on the nightly news the next day. More rioting today after the controversial Shambo Russell sex scene that Survivor 2 nights ago. The city of Detroit is still on fire. Let's hope it's just.
And the rocket scientist is gone. You know, if Russell ever pulls you aside and says, me and you till the end, it's like, come on, guys.
Well, it seems like finally everybody's starting to catch on to him this week.
Well, they've been out there for a month.
What's weird is that this is the first time we've seen somebody control the game without numbers, that nobody has caught on that they're controlling the game.
And they just voted them out.
I remember, what was the year when all the women, I'm going to say like 5 years ago, it was all the women were controlling the game, and it was some girl, big, attractive, very, very buxom, and she was in control, and they just couldn't oust her the whole time. That was the only time I remember somebody dominating the strategy.
It doesn't usually work like this.
No.
He's also got the immunity idol in his hand, though. He's no dummy.
I got to say, the one incredible thing about this Survivor season so far is that Monica, who's wasting away but is still really, really good-looking for this
absolutely
whole genre, has not been voted out yet. Usually they sniff her out and they get rid of her.
She was guarded by Loira for the last 2 weeks, and then she's gone under the radar the last 2 weeks.
Hey, did you notice how when, normally when they put makeup and do their hair done, they become half as attractive?
Mm-hmm.
Loira, who kind of looked like old Nancy Kerrigan, became more attractive with the makeup.
More attractive with the makeup.
Like, wow, Loira, busting out.
There's a guy, we can move off this quickly, but there's a guy who's on Survivor who I swear I've not heard from yet, who's still in the game. He's part of Old Galoo, and he hasn't said a word. He's like a young fella, probably like 24. He's like pretty good looking. I don't even know what he does for a job. He hasn't said anything.
I think
he might be part of the production that occasionally gets in one of the shots.
At gunpoint, who's your winner?
Last time you asked me, I think I had the rocket scientist. I mean, at gunpoint, I got to go with this. I mean, there's really no one that deserves it except for Shambo.
Well, Russell can't. He can't actually win.
No.
Because he won't win the jury, which is what he doesn't seem to understand.
Yeah. It's almost like he's there to get a spinoff or something. Like, he just wants to just control the game.
Well, I think he did. He got into the All-Star telecast.
Yeah, easily. Yeah. Easily.
He's in. They're already filming it, I think.
Are you serious?
Or they're about to or something, yeah. So
it's about time for an All-Star. I want to see some more Yao Men.
Yeah. A couple things bother me about just the way the show is constructed. When they have the auction for the food every year, they have the same, you're going to have mock money and you can bid for food. Why doesn't somebody just go 500 immediately when they see the cheeseburger?
Don't you all
watch the show?
Yeah, they started to do a little bit of that, but it's like, guys, and the first one is always good.
First one's always good.
I mean, this was just a peanut butter jelly sandwich, but still, that's better than like with slug guts.
Second or third is a bad one, and then at some point the cheeseburger and the beer is going to come out. And if that thing opens and you see a cheeseburger, 500, boom. But the other thing is they never have enough food for everybody's money, so these idiots get stuck with the money.
With nothing. Like, what are you saving your money for?
What do you think? This is eBay? Like, you're going to go out next week?
That was like Lewis in the fantasy draft we had. We had like $120 at the end of the draft.
and somehow it was like 11-3.
Yeah.
We're involved in an awesome fantasy draft right now.
Yeah.
Inspired by Tiger Woods.
Eldrick.
We're in an email celebrity cheater fantasy draft. Who is going to be the next celebrity cheater? I won't name any of the names because I'm pretty sure this is libelous, but it has really been heated. There's been some
rule debates.
There's been rule debates. We was going to be married and longtime girlfriend. Then we decided it wasn't. It was back to just be married. There's been a couple where there's been some picks, and then other people have emailed and said, you know, with profanity, that was my next pick. I hate you, like legitimate anger.
Yeah, I experienced some of that firsthand. There's been just a lot of big names on that board that would cause big problems.
Yeah. It's a really good one, and I think we're all throwing in, like, maybe for – it'll be count for all of 2010, 100
yeah,
bucks a person.
Because I would say by the end of the next calendar year, at least four or five of those people are going to end up on the cover of Us Weekly with some waitress from the club, like Eldrick.
I'd like to think if they do, like, the list of accomplishments for what people have done in 2009 that have advanced the world, I'd like to think the fact that we've really started doing these fantasy drafts about random stuff, which I can't remember seeing before.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what the first one was.
We've been doing it for a couple of years now.
We might have even started last year, but this was the first time we've been talking about it in podcasts and columns and stuff. I'd like to see it sweep the world.
It's always good for, like, if you're hanging out at a bar, you know, we've caught up, we're like 90 minutes in. So like, there's nothing new going on in my life that you don't know about that I have to talk about. If there's a 10-second lull in the conversation, just two words.
Or, you know, just a running thing to have going for the week in email. And, you know, ESPN, God forbid we just put the technology so we could be doing this online and giving them the page views for it.
But, no, that'd be too easy.
Yeah, that'd be too anyway, anything else we could cover?
Real quick, road rules. That's finishing up next week.
You
took the lead in the fan. You took the lead in the draft.
Oh yeah, I did.
Yeah, but you're 25 points ahead of me, and I did some calculations. I don't think I have much of a shot at winning.
I think I'm going to win.
Yeah, I think you've got that one. House came out of the box really early, and then has just slowed down to a halt. He's just rooting for some sort of sex crime.
Hold on, I have the week 9 numbers. Oh, she mailed them, right, Katie Gorman?
Yeah. Shout out to Katie. And the leaderboard is where you want to be, too. I think you're up at like 620 and I'm 595.
Here we go. She said, I have 520. Jacoby is 495. Joe House at 355. And Joe Mead at 75.
Joe Mead had a great pick. Sarah's coming through for you, Joe Mead.
She's really good.
You're the third best GM in the league.
You know, the one thing that's kind of bothered me is they have this whole thing where Kenny is just like brutally mean to females, and it's like, oh, he's only like that because she likes him, and then it's like, yeah, he's actually like kind of being vicious.
Yeah, like you kind of want her to stab him in the stomach, like just puncture a liver or something, not kill the guy, just send him to the hospital so he never does that stuff again.
Now, is Kenny? What would happen if he went on the Jersey Shore?
I think he like lives there. I'm not kidding.
Would he be the leader of the Jersey Shore? Like, he's got all the Jersey Shore qualities, but also has the manipulative IQ. I feel like he could be the mayor of Jersey Shore.
He'd be a little smart for the Jersey Shore. But eventually, like, there'd be some brute who would just wouldn't appreciate his intelligence and then probably just, you know, punch him in the face 7 times. And he'd go to the hospital with a broken orbital bone. Connor has a great point.
What?
Connor brought up that this Evan, Johnny Bananas, Kenny power structure has dominated probably 3 straight challenges, and it's time for them to go.
Yeah.
It's time for them to go.
They're like the 80s Lakers.
Yeah, I've had enough. They need to break up this thing, and I think that might be – they might have had that in mind when they did this new fresh meat one that's coming out.
Well, but here's the thing. They're doing this new one, and it's fresh meat versus the veterans, so we know the veterans are going to win again. Can we just have the one where it's just captains, just two captains, and they pick teams, and we know they're going to be fair?
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I don't understand what they were thinking this time. It's like – it was like, all right, let's have the NBA All-Stars against the NBA DL All-Stars. It's like, well, I know who's going to win this game.
TJ Lavin, I think, has had some good moments to share.
Me and you are split on TJ Lavin.
He's not using the "you killed it." Well, I like his.
He does hate quitters.
Hates quitters. I like when somebody's earned their respect, his respect in a loss.
Yeah.
And he does the whole thing of, Kimberly, wasn't quite enough, but you were a warrior out there. You made this game proud. Like, he's like Jim Brown talking about football.
Yeah, he made the game proud. He just loves effort. He really does. He just wants to see you try out there. That's all he asked for.
I wish T.J. Lavin was coaching the Patriots right now.
Oof.
Randy Moss, you stopped running hard after the first quarter. I didn't like what I saw at all. Good luck, though.
Randy, we just need you to run as hard as you can for 8 seconds, and then you can stop. Okay? Just wait till you hear this sound, the whistle sound. When you hear that sound, you can stop sprinting towards the end zone.
Randy, they were double-teaming you, and you realized you weren't going to get the ball, so you jogged through the last 3 quarters of the game. You hurt your teammates, but good luck.
Randy does this thing also. He does the, like, ooh, he threw it to me thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he's going at 60%, and then he like sort of turns his head. He's like, oh, ball's headed my direction. Now I'll try.
Well, I've written about this before. He's a front runner. When things are going great, he goes all out. And unfortunately, right now, this is barely above a 500 team. I think he knows that, and he's on pseudo cruise control, in my opinion.
I'm not going to take him seriously until he shaves the beard.
The Kimbo Slice Baron Davis?
Yeah,
Mr.
Gotta
T,
go.
Something? Yeah.
It's got to go.
All right, Czar. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to you before Christmas.
All right.
Keep watching Jersey Shore. Good luck with the – well, oh, wait, last thing. The Real World D.C. I think I'm out already.
I'm already. Yeah, thank you.
I'm out.
I'm done. The city's boring. Sorry, House. The city's boring. The cast is boring. They try to entice me with these trailers. Like, they're not even fighting.
Yeah, and I'm also – I'm hitting that stage, you know, where it's the Real World's hit or miss for me because I'm older than almost everybody in the show by at least 2/3.
You've lapped them, yeah.
I've lapped them, yeah. And it's although I really did like the Brooklyn one with the Ryan kid, the Iraqi kid. That to me, that is where the Real World pays off, when it's got people that you actually like learn about and stuff like that.
And then you enjoy it. I just think this one, you can just feel it. You can feel it that this one's not going to work.
It's not a good city for a Real World.
It's just
really not.
It just doesn't have the potential. The same way the Red Sox going in the playoffs. You were like, you know what? I already know how this is going to end. And
yeah,
I'm
but
not
the good news
it.
Is, now that we have Scudero, now it's...
No.
It's not good news.
I mean, really?
It's not good news at all. Well, he had a career year last year at 279 and 60 RBI.
Yeah.
Feeling good. He's supposedly the defensive stats on him are great. I think that the Red Sox have gone stat crazy to their detriment. I think they are in looking at these, you know, pitch counts per at bat and on base percentage and defensive range efficiency and all that stuff. And it's like, can we just find somebody who can drive in a runner?
Yeah, let's just find somebody who hits over 300 that's on the way up. Like, if you print out and say which one of these guys is careers are headed up instead of down.
I love stats. I think stats are really useful, but I don't think they should decide every front office move you make. It's a little extreme.
Yeah.
I just thought, well, you know what? Move Pedroia to shortstop for 2 years. Spend some money on a second baseman. And instead, now we got Marco Scudero is going to come up, who, again, had a career year last year at age 34 in a contract year, which is another thing the Red Sox never seem to take into account, is that, you know.
You're not going to get the same production out of him.
Yeah, a contract year is called a contract year for a reason.
For a
it means
reason.
The guy has the most incentive to try that he's ever had at any point in his career.
Yes.
And I think even like you look at Miami this year, and Jermaine O'Neal, who's been on vacation for 3 years, all of a sudden is kind of invested. It's because it's a contract year.
I just want to see. I think this is a stat. You know, you say they're stat crazy. This is a stat I'd like to see him take into account. Was he born before or after 1980?
Wow.
Just take that into account.
Why is that?
Because the people that are born after 1980 are 29 years old.
Oh, that's I got you.
You know, it seems like everyone's got a little salt and pepper underneath that baseball cap.
Well, that's what the Celtics did with Sheed, who is, you know, already we're a month and a half in, and he's the most frustrating Celtic since Antoine.
Yeah.
Somebody who is just past his prime and was past his prime 2 years ago, still a good defensive player, but is a contract that's going to really hurt them
turned
next
into
year.
Like a spot up 3-point shooter.
All he does.
Or something. Like,
he refuses to go down low. He doesn't hit DeJuan Blair on him, who's like 6'2".
He can hit a turnaround, too. I've seen
it. He just doesn't want to. But listen, I watched him do that in Detroit the last couple of years. He's a guy who does not want to go past the 3-point line anymore. So when he goes in, no post up game anymore. We don't get any rebounds. It's first shot. If it doesn't go in, the other team gets it.
Yeah, you're running back on defense.
I just think for the way the salary kept going, I think that could end up being a bad signing. And I thought that last summer.
Yeah.
The good news is that KG who I was very concerned about. It looks like his legs have come back a little bit.
I agree. I think, is there a part of you that's rooting against him so you can be right?
No, never.
Okay, good.
It's not like, I don't think there's a case of being right or wrong. It's, guy's got 1,200 games on him and had a really bad knee injury.
Yeah.
And it's also, what is it, early December?
Yeah.
So we got a long haul left. We got to get six more months out of him.
Long haul.
Yeah. I do think, though, that from what I've seen of the other Eastern teams, I just think Orlando's not the same team.
Yeah, I think the most exciting story is the New Jersey Nets. Back to Jersey.
Yeah, that was great.
Back to Jersey. It was easily, it led SportsCenter. It was the most exciting story in the NBA.
Apparently, I know a couple people went to that game, and they said it was absolutely off the charts fantastic.
It must have been. I mean, that was probably the most exciting game of the year.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, like, I would tell my buddies, I'd say, look, let's imagine this team is so bad that they have a 10% chance of winning against a random NBA team.
Mm.
If you take that into account, they should probably win a game like their sixth or seventh try. I'm sure there's some nerd out there who knows the stats better than I do. But the fact that it took them 18 games to win is just mind-boggling.
Well, and then the other thing is the team they lost to, I think, was Minnesota on a last-second shot. And that team would have been unwon, whatever the opposite of undefeated. That team would have been defeated.
Defeated.
Every time. Redefeated. I think I tackled this in a mailbag once. They would have been redefeated and also been 0 and whatever.
Redefeated.
Anyway. All right. So our reality TV, Dave Jacoby. Talk to you soon.
Be cool.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
This concludes another installment of the BS Report. And with all the talk about sports, Bill Simmons neglected to mention this important news, which frankly cannot go unstated. Whether tailgating, watching the game with friends, or just really hungry, attack your hunger with Subway Catering. Piled high platters starting at $25, giant subs, cookies, drinks, and more. So find a reason to party, put Subway Catering in charge, and get busy feasting. Subway. Cater fresh.